We're going to Toronto now, where a new study takes a closer look at the challenges and aspirations of Aboriginals living in the Greater Toronto Area. And while researchers have discovered a rich and vibrant arts community, it is the emergence of a middle class that has caught everyone's attention. And to find out more about the report, we are joined by Lynn-Françoise Pelletier from our studios in Toronto. Hello, Lynn-Françoise.
Hi, Mark.
So what can you tell us about this new study?
Well, the Toronto Aboriginal Research Project is really the largest study ever done in regards to Aboriginal people in Toronto. Now, the Greater Toronto Area has the largest urban Aboriginal population in Ontario. It is between 50 to 60,000 people, and it is growing rapidly, 33% since 2001. And it tends really to be younger than the non-Aboriginal population. So the report was commissioned by the Toronto Aboriginal Support Services Council. All three levels of government also funded this study, and which took about 2 years to complete. And the findings come from a sample of more than 1,400 individuals who were surveyed and interviewed.
So what were some of the key findings?
Well, Don McCaskill is the research director of the Toronto Aboriginal Research Project.
The key findings were that there is essentially two groups of people in Toronto. One is made up of middle class or economically successful Aboriginal people who are widely distributed throughout the GTA. And the other group is people that are suffering from different levels of social issues, some not so serious, some quite serious. There tends to be concentrated in the poorer areas of the city, and we found that about two-thirds of the population were in the latter group, and about a third of the population were in the former group. And for the former group, the economically successful Aboriginal people, there was, partly because they're scattered throughout the city, there's no Aboriginal neighborhood per se in the way that there is a Greek town or a little Italy and that kind of thing. They tend not to have the institutional supports available to them, so that there's not strong support for creating an Aboriginal culture in the city, an Aboriginal neighborhood in the city, or reinforcing their identity.
But researchers also found that there is a strong, viable arts community within Toronto that is made up of actors, musicians, artists, and that there are a number of cultural activities, such as powwows, feasts, and socials, for Aboriginals to engage in the city.
Well, he mentioned there were a number of smaller communities set aside in neighborhoods across Toronto. I mean, he mentioned Greek Town, for example, you know, Chinatown, Little Italy, Koreaville, so on and so forth. Why isn't there an Aboriginal sort of neighborhood?
Well, many reasons, Mark, starting with the fact that there hasn't been really a clear pattern of settlements for Aboriginals like there was for other cultural groups who came to Toronto, let's say, after World War II. You know, people came from the same villages or region. In many cases, they spoke the same language. They shared the same culture. Now, the Aboriginal community is quite different, according to Don McCaskill.
We found that our sample contained Anishinaabe people or Ojibwe people, and which have different cultures, different languages, although we did discover that there's another issue that Aboriginal people are facing in the city is Aboriginal language loss. We found that over 80% of the sample were not fluent in an Aboriginal language. But yes, that is a big issue. There's a diversity among the Aboriginal community. At the same time, there is a sense that Aboriginal people are Aboriginal, and they do want to maintain that Aboriginalness in a kind of pan-Aboriginal way as well, as within a very specific First Nations-based approach as well.
Now, another reason also is that Aboriginals don't have that tradition of forming organizations, institutions that support their identity as much as other cultural communities.
All right, given these findings, what's the greatest challenge facing the Aboriginal community in cities like Toronto?
Well, the research director, Don McCaskill, says the report has highlighted a number of challenges.
Well, I think the greatest challenge is still, as it has been for a while, is ensuring that the majority of Aboriginal people in Toronto have a stable economic existence, and that they can participate in a positive way in the general life of the city of Toronto, and that they can have stable housing, because we discovered that housing is a huge issue. In other words, the social and economic problems that are facing Aboriginal people can be solved, and that they can get involved in the successful healing journey.
And so for many urban Aboriginals, meeting basic daily needs such as housing, health and work remains a challenge.
And I would imagine there are some recommendations in the report.
Absolutely. There are over 50 recommendations. Some are quite specific, like the need for an Aboriginal addiction treatment facility that would deliver culturally appropriate services to people struggling with alcohol and drug addictions. No, there used to be one in Toronto several years ago, but it closed down. Now, the report also proposes the creation of a cultural centre to help the middle class reinforce their identity. It also suggests bringing the middle class together with those who are struggling through community programs and mentorships. And there are recommendations for long-term care facilities for elders, priority childcare spaces, programs for homeless people, and youth elder programs so that young people can learn more about their own culture.
All right, Lynn Françoise, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And that's our correspondent in Toronto, Lynn Françoise Pelletier.